upholding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captain of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. We're included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. Patrick Wood here for Technocracy News and Trends. Today is April 19th, 2019. Welcome to the broadcast. Today we're going to start out our conversation with a police state issue. And this is kind of a combination, a mix of various subjects and topics and so on. Public-private partnerships are going to come into it. Police state spying is going to come into it. And maybe even pre-crime analysis. The story headline that's of interest here is Public-Private Partnership. Police spy on suspicious people at potential crime scenes. The article starts out, for years, law enforcement has been claiming that drones will only be used for natural disasters, crime scene investigations, car accidents, and rescue operations. That is a bill of goods being sold to the public, but it is all a lie. A perfect example of how law enforcement promises the public one thing, and after time passes, uses it for something else, is taking place in Texas at the Memorial Villages Police Department. 2 years ago, Click to Houston reported how the police department claimed they would only use drones for, quote, better emergency response during disasters. They also used police officer and UAV pilot Larry Bogus to solidify their claim that drones would only be used for natural disasters, saying, quote, drones are a huge asset for us because very quickly we were able to see the amount of houses that were damaged during a 2018 storm. The story goes on to explain how these same drones now are being dispatched when no crime has been committed, and they're spying on people that may or may not be involved in a crime, but there's no definite crime having been committed. So basically, they're using it like a fishing expedition. If a crime happens, they'll be there. Well, you can argue this in both directions, I suppose, but the video that's contained in this article called Drones Sent to Potential Crimes, in the video, if you listen carefully, you'll hear that the police department came upon these drones as a result of a public-private partnership with a private company. Bottom line, what that means is the police department couldn't afford this kind of technology, so they turned to a private company that was making it, made a deal, and got the technology. Public-private partnership. Well, public-private partnerships are a scheme that originally hatched at the United Nations as part of the Sustainable Development implementation. Sustainable development. Well, I guess you could call it sustainable policing, but public-private partnerships, although some people might see short-term benefit, typically end poorly for the public entity when the deal falls apart and the company walks away. And this may not happen, of course, in this case. The company named in the public-private partnership is Paladin Drones. Their mission statement is, quote, to deploy drones to 9/11 calls for instant situational awareness. It's a small company. The CEO is a young man who had an experience with his family losing his home one time. It spurred him to create this drone system to be dispatched to specific coordinates. Sounds innocent by itself, and probably is. But the combination of this technology in the hands of the wrong people who have no respect for constitutional rights like to privacy has serious implications. In my opinion, this technology will fit into geospatial intelligence just fine. That's called GeoInt, a topic we're talking about more today. GeoInt and smart city collaborations. The idea is total awareness. All of this information can be fed back into a pre-crime analysis system, of course, which is spreading around the country like wildfire. Well, we'll see where this goes. We'll watch this story. Public-private partnerships are not our friends in the end. They're not a friend of a constitutional republic. The second article this morning is almost ludicrous, but it appeared in a major publication, and so it's worthy of comment because it does fit into the original technocracy theme from the 1930s. A scientist has declared, actually, I think he's a psychologist or maybe a psychiatrist, but he's claimed that human-chimp DNA hybrids are possible. Quote, our future offspring may be part human, part chimp. At least that's the nightmarish vision of self-proclaimed expert David Barish, a professor of psychology emeritus at the University of Washington. Dr. Barish says that not only is the creation of humanzees possible using gene editing, but producing such creatures would be a terrific idea. He believes it would force humans to acknowledge we're no different to animals and help stop the grotesque abuse of the planet's creatures, only in Washington State. Dr. Barish's remarkable comments, which could lead to a situation resembling Planet of the Apes, were made in his new book titled, this is his title, Through a Glass Brightly, Using Science to See Our Species as It Really Is. So Dr. Barish's idea of seeing our species as it really is to crossbreed it with chimpanzees. I don't understand the logic there. That doesn't help us see our species. It helps us see some mythical other species. This is crazy. Well, actually, if you read down through the article, Dr. Barish's goal becomes clear, is to convince the world that humans are no different than animals, and in particular monkeys. Yeah, he does. He thinks it would be good for scientists to use CRISPR technology and create chimeras. He calls them humanzees or humanzees. And I think, personally, he's been reading a little bit too much of Darwin lately. Or maybe he's just watched Planet of the Apes too many times. Humanzees. Our last story today is in honor of Easter, which is coming up this weekend. It's a story about Christian persecution in China. We'll start out by noting an article written back in 2014. This appeared in the Telegraph, and it is a very shocking headline. It says, China on course to become the world's most Christian nation within 15 years. And it says, the number of Christians in communist China is growing so steadily that by 2030, it could have more churchgoers than America. Well, of course, churchgoing in America is declining rapidly. But nevertheless, this was written in 2014, so in another 10 years, if this forecast were to come true, China's going to have a lot of worshiping Christians. Now, the fact is that Christianity has made tremendous inroads into China. Citizens on the street are pretty much fed up with the autocratic communistic background, and they're turning to faith to fill the void. This is a threat to technocrats. Christians don't bow to the technocrat mantra. They believe in a creator. They believe in a savior. This does not jive with technocracy at all. Technocracy has a decidedly atheistic view of the world. They don't place God at the center of anything, especially of creation. And they believe that science is the only way to discover truth. Christians, on the other hand, look to the Bible as a source of truth. This is polar opposite to the technocrat idea, truth where truth can only be discovered through science. So immediately, Christians and technocrats are at odds on how truth is discovered. The technocrats believe, especially in China, believe that their truth is the only truth that matters, and that's the ultimate end of scientific engineering of society. They believe that man is no different than any other animal, like our previous story on humanzees, and therefore, the Christians are basically just worshiping myths and fairy tales. They would look at them as being deluded. Of course, the Christians would look at the technocrats as being deluded. But this sets up an obvious conflict. Now, I will say that the Christians in China have never been a physical threat to the order in China. They're typically extremely peaceful and pacifist. They don't riot in the streets, typically. They don't try and make harm to property. They don't burn cars and loot stores and stuff like that. They're not really a threat, a physical threat to the order. But mentally, they are a threat because they will not bow their knee to technocracy. They will not play ball with the systems that technocracy tries to impose. So the story at hand, in any case, is that one Chinese city now is paying $1,500 to anyone who will snitch on illegal, quote-unquote, Christian activity. $1,500. That's a lot of money, even in China. So if a citizen perceives that there's a house church or perhaps a prayer meeting or a Bible study that isn't, quote-unquote, registered with the state, that would make it illegal right off the bat. If they snitch to the government that so-and-so is holding a Bible study in his home, they can get paid up to $1,500 just for the tip. This article starts out now, the Chinese government is increasing its crackdown on Christians by actually rewarding citizens who report Christians to the government. Guangzhou has become the first city to offer up $1,500 to any Chinese citizen that reports illegal religious activities. According to the South China Morning Post, the city's crackdown has come down hardest on unregistered Protestant churches. The government has also demolished Catholic churches, Buddhist temples, and Muslim mosques that were not government approved. So the reach does go beyond just Christians, by the way, which proves my point that technocracy cannot tolerate any other type of belief system other than their own, and they won't. So Buddhist temples and Catholic churches and Muslim mosques are all under attack, but Christians in particular. Over the past year, the article states, the Chinese government has cracked down on Christian practices while giving more freedom to grassroots officials to implement their own power over religious practitioners, shutting down small religious gatherings and implementing strong penalties against Christians. As FaithWire previously reported in January, a document was issued to a city in the Shaanxi province by the Bureau of Ethnic and Religious Affairs that would regulate church-free zones near Chinese schools. Church-free zones near Chinese schools. The plan, officially known as the Implementation Plan on the Special Governance of Private Christian Gathering Sites, that's a mouthful, not only created mandatory church-free zones, but also required churches to give the names of youth members to the local government. Well, go figure. China is busy persecuting Christians. At least they're not killing them or torturing them yet. But instead of reducing the impact of Christianity in China, it actually is increasing it. This is the mystery of the Christian church since it was established 2,000 years ago. The more the church is persecuted, the faster it spreads. This has always been the case. Christians turn to God in times of moral vacuum, in times of persecution. China can't possibly win this battle with Christianity. In the end, China may well become the most Christian nation on earth. Time will tell. If you haven't had a chance to read Technocracy, The Hard Road to World Order, check it out on Amazon.com. Read some of the reviews. See what other people are saying. Take a look also at Technocracy Rising, the Trojan horse of global transformation. The history behind technocracy is really amazing. It's shocking, actually, to believe that, or to see, that history has forgotten technocracy. There are reasons for it, but history has basically forgotten the whole idea that technocracy ever existed in America. And at one point, there were over 500,000 card-carrying, dues-paying members in America. It was a big movement. It spawned a philosophy that is with us to this day in the form of sustainable development, green economy, Green New Deal, total surveillance society. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Have a great day.